Hi guys, this is Dhanraj Kidiyur. Let's begin this podcast, Simplifying Cross-Border Trade by PWIP.
Hi friends. In my last session, I had mentioned that we will be talking about export mistakes that I did, and so that fellow exporters can learn from the export mistakes. Well, there were plenty of areas where mistakes can happen. Like I talked about shipment delays, I talked about payment delays, I talked about quality, I talked about packaging issues. There are a lot of things, a lot of areas where things can go wrong, which can lead to an issue from you to the customer, right? So let's we will talk of each issue that you might face in exports individually. So today's topic, friends, I have selected is what will be a consequence of shipment delay. So everything will relate to majorly two issues when there is a shipment delay happens, right? One is for the buyer who is receiving the cargo. He is expecting that it will reach to him on a particular date, and if the cargo is reaching there might be 1 week late or 2 weeks late, that might be affecting his delivery schedules for to supplying to his customers, right? So that could be one issue that we will talk about. The second issue is if a shipment delays, that can be meaning that it might be a payment delay to you, right? Because faster the BL you get, faster the payment you get. But even if the buyer takes time after the BL, the vessel reaching the destination, the transit time is very important so that you can also get a payment on time, right? So there are a few things interconnected. So today let's talk about how will shipment delays affect your export shipments or payment cycle, right? So isme kahin bahut sare cheeze hain dosto. One, for example, if now you also should know that if there is an incoming payment delay because of a shipment delay, how could it affect you? It will affect you because you then also have to pay make payment to the either if it is a supplier, right? Like a rice miller or the factory or the processing unit or the manufacturing unit from where you have purchased. If you have purchased on credit, you will have to make payment to that manufacturer or to that supplier, and you would have got credit. Now if the payment from incoming from the customer is delayed, that will delay for you to pay to the manufacturer, right? And the second thing is ki even if you would have made payment to your manufacturer or your supplier, you want that funds to come because you had to prepare another shipment to some other customer. So this becomes very important ultimately, which is leading to your incoming funds, right? If not incoming funds, then it's if the buyer could probably be not happy with you, or he might say that why is this delay and it's causing issues to him. So let's start about this. Now, once the cargo leaves the mill or the factory or the manufacturing unit, that is when your countdown actually starts to you in terms of paying to your supplier, right? In case of, say, for example, if you're doing a rice shipment from say Gondia region in Maharashtra, where you're for example shipping out of Nagpur ICD, for example. So if your cargo is going to the Nagpur ICD, from Nagpur ICD there because it is an ICD, your custom clearance will happen there at that ICD, which means from there the cargo is supposed to go on a train to Mumbai port, right? So if because it has already left the mill and your countdown for the payment has started, if you're enjoying say 10 days or 15 days credit terms from your supplier, so then what happens is if the cargo is delayed at in Nagpur, then you will face this issue because your payment to your customer, to the only proof that he will consider is BL, right? Because if Nagpur delays, then the cargo from Nagpur to Mumbai will be delayed, and there once it sits on the vessel, only then you are going to get your BL, right? But if Nagpur ICD does faster, there are a few ICDs in Nagpur, like Nagpur main ICD, Mihan ICD, Bhorkedi ICD. So there are a few ICDs where you can route out through. If the work happens faster there, but then it goes to Mumbai, but the vessel itself is delayed, right? Again, then your cargo is on waiting there to board to the vessel, which means you're not going to get a BL copy. And I will mention you and I will let you know one trick that you can actually do here for faster BL, right? So this is, if you're routing it through a ICD, वहाँ पे ये काम आ जाता है. But if you are sending directly by road the cargo to truck, then you know that whatever you do, it is not going to the port directly. You're going to take it to a CFS, right? Your customs handling agent will actually handle your cargo. फिर वहाँ पे the same process happens, right? Unloading cargo, custom clearance, PQ, fumigation, then container pickup, and then loading to the container actually starts, right? तो ये सारे जो प्रोसेस, इफ यू आर नॉट फोकस्ड ऑन दिस, देन यू आर गोइंग टू मिस आउट ऑन योर यू नो कैचिंग द वेसल. द सेकेंड प्रॉब्लम आई सी व्हाट एक्सपोर्टर्स डू इज दैट, यू नो, यू हैव एन एजेंट, सो यू, वी टोटली रिलाय ऑन द एजेंट. वी सेंड द कार्गो टू द पोर्ट एंड टेल हिम दैट यू लोड टू द वेसल. पहले ये प्रोसेस जो है, इट यूज टू बी ईजियर, बट नाउ डेज इट्स नॉट दैट ईजियर. आई टेल यू वाई. Because we are not able to get easily space on the vessel. The vessels are full because of there is shortage of vessels and shortage of containers. So it is always, you should book a vessel. You should target a vessel, only then send your cargo. Otherwise, what will happen? You would have dispatched the cargo from the factory or the mill. It has gone to the CFS, but they are not getting a booking to load, because you might have either 2 containers, 3 or 5 or 10 containers in a lot, in a BL, to be loaded, which means that 10 containers has to be loaded together in that particular BL, in that particular vessel, right? So even if it is 2 or 3 or 5, it has to go together, right? So if you are not booking the vessel first, simply sending the cargo to the CFS and totally relying on your customs handling agent that wo apna booking karega, wo dekh lega, wo jaldi bhejega. No, it does not happen like that, because they also face challenge in terms of booking the vessel, getting the vessel slot, getting that clearance to, you know, start sending the containers, you know, gate in into the port, right? So if you are not booking the vessel, then your cargo is going to be stuck. They will say that the vessel is delayed, the vessel is not, we are not accepting booking, we are trying for the next vessel is next week, and then the next week. So your 2 weeks, your 15 days will be gone in the CFS itself. So that is not advisable to do, because it will delay your delivery to your customer, it will delay your getting of BL, which will again delay in getting of your payment, right? So the best thing is to do, before trucking out from a particular factory, it is best to target the vessel. Which vessel are you going to put this cargo into, and then only then start dispatching a vessel based on working backwards. Also, the most important thing here also to do is that, since, for example, if say there are 5 containers in a BL which has to go on the vessel and in the shipment, I would suggest what you do is, you know, do something like, you know, you tell the manufacturer that you should start counting your credit terms, your 15 days credit terms, from the day of last dispatch of the container. So if you have given order of 5 containers, 5 trucks, or say 125 metric tons to your supplier, you should tell the supplier, because the supplier is going to give you 1 day 1 container cargo, second day 2 or 3 containers cargo, third day your supplier is going to give you 3 or 4 container cargo. So he's not going to give you all the cargo for 5 containers from the day 1. So he's going to take many days to give you the cargo, right? So best to tell your supplier, the counting of 10 days or 15 days credit terms should start from the date of last dispatch of the last 5th container. Sometimes, normally, exporters, what they do is, they, if there is a rice shipment, for example, they would have given it to 2 suppliers or 2 rice millers, right? So, for example, 2 containers to one particular mill, 3 containers to another particular mill, right? So, for whatever it is, you should tell them that the 15 days credit terms will start from the date of dispatch of the last container or the last truck from them. So what will happen by this is that they will try to, you know, push and give you all the containers at a stretch. Otherwise, sometimes what happens, some suppliers, what will they do is they will give you the first container cargo today, and for the second container cargo, they will take another 5 days. But you cannot ship that one container, because even if it goes to the CFS, it will still be waiting for the other containers to come, because you have to send it 5 container in a BL, in a lot, right? So make sure this is becomes very important, and you talk this out with your supplier from the start. All the cargo has to go together. So don't give a gap in between. Once you start my production, you give my production at a stretch so that it will help me to send faster. The second thing, friends, what you can do, I don't know if you have heard of something called as RFSBL. In BL, there are two types of BL. One is RFSBL and the second is shipped on board, SOBBL, right? So what this means is that shipped on board, BL means the BL is given by the shipping line only after boarding the vessel. Which means if the vessel is delayed by 3 days, so you still have to wait for 3 days to get your BL. But otherwise, the other option is there is an option of RFSBL, which is called received for shipment BL. This means that once you get in the containers into the port, it is called received. Your containers are now received for shipment. It is not gone on the vessel, but it is received inside the gate, which means it cannot go out of the gate, which means it is confirmed now that it can, it has come and it is waiting for the vessel. So shipping lines give a BL called RFSBL, received for shipment BL. With this BL, you can send it to the customer. So it is not, the vessel has not sailed. Assume that the vessel is delayed and is coming only after berthing in only after 3 or 4 days. But you have already got your BL today itself. And that you can send it to the customer saying that here is the BL with all other shipment documents. Please make the payment so that I can release this to you, right? This is one idea that you can do. You can take RFSBL, right? So these are the two things, my friends, that you concentrated on before the, before loading. Now, we talked about a few things here to summarize, friends. One, that you tell your supplier to give at a stretch, not give one container cargo and then delay for the next container's cargo, because you cannot do anything with it. You have to still make that lot and wait for that lot. Second is that you plan the vessel, you book the vessel and only then ship out. Otherwise, simply don't ship out, because again, it is simply going to add to your number of days and your cargo will be simply waiting at the CFS. The third option I said that you can do is do a RFSBL instead of a SOBBL. All the shipping agents, they know about this, right? So apart from this, once you have sent the cargo to the gated in at the port and then the vessel is delayed, sometimes what happens is the vessel is coming, it is waiting, but the departure gets delayed sometimes due to some issues, right? So this is one thing that actually is beyond your control. Second thing, lot of shipments, if it is not a direct sailing ship, right? Like for example, say you're sending to Vietnam, your vessel is not going to Vietnam directly. It has a transit either in Port Klang or in Singapore, for example, right? So what we can do is that in this kind of cases, you will almost have no control, because either once it is shipped, even if you try to influence, it does not work, because it all depends on the next vessel, the port conditions there, the congestion there, the incoming feeder vessel in that particular port. But what you can actually do is you can actually discuss this and plan the transshipment vessel much ahead, meaning when there is a transshipment, your agent actually will give you a booking copy which will say that this will go and reach Singapore at this particular date, and the next vessel that it will get changed over is at this particular date, right? If you see that the gap between your vessel reaching Singapore and the next vessel which is going to take over your cargo from there, that if the gap is too small, meaning if it is the vessel is reaching Singapore today and the next transshipment vessel is just after 1 day, it is very, very risky. we might think that it is good that because the cargo will go faster, but it is not that way, right? Because if your vessel from, say, for example, Chennai to Singapore gets delayed by a day and the second vessel comes on time, they are not going to wait for your containers. Your containers will be allotted to the next incoming vessel. And if the next incoming vessel is, say, after 2 or 3 days, based on space availability, they push it backwards, then it will take a lot of time. I have seen a lot of shipments which was promised to reach Vietnam in 18 days and reached in 40 days. So this is going to terribly, it's an issue, creates an issue for the customer, for your incoming funds, and a lot of, issues like this. It is also not good for the cargo, right, that it is sitting more number of days in a particular container, right? So better to plan the transshipment vessel in such a way that you take at least 2 or 3 days gap, so that even if there is a day's, kind of catch that, transshipment vessel. And for all of us who is doing, for whose the ship, the vessel is going direct, like say Singapore is direct, Port Klang is direct, UAE and most Middle East countries are direct. I think to Durban in South Africa port is also direct. So a lot of direct ports, I think you will not face this problem, right? So these were actually about the few things that from day one I didn't take care of. If you are a new exporter, probably you would not know about this. So this could be a very good thing to take care of, friends. So this is it for today. I have, I think, one question on exports that I would like to answer, which is from Saurabh. So what Saurabh is asking is, what is the difference between normal BL and master BL? You know, it happens something like this. In shipment, what happens is there is something called for example, I'll give you an example. RCL is a shipping line. They have their own containers and they have their own vessel, right? Which means what happens is that when RCL vessel is there in a particular port preparing for a shipment, and in that RCL vessel there are containers which come and sit, right? So normally what happens is, because it is RCL, they will always give first preference to RCL containers, right? So they will pick up RCL containers. But then what are the other containers? The other containers does not belong to RCL. The other containers might be something like belonging to Costco, TransAsia, Evergreen, many, many companies. And what are these companies called who don't have their own vessel? They are called NVOCC, right? Non-vessel operating container carrier, something like that. Meaning they are non-vessel. They don't have a vessel with them. Now, they are not like RCL. RCL has their own vessel and their own containers, so they'll give preference, and plus they will take, containers of other NVOC, other NVOCs, other companies also. Now, in this case, there is OOCL and then there is Seahawk, a lot of companies, which some are NVOCC, some are main lines. In this time, what happens is, it is not that, main lines are always better. It is also not like that. Sometimes main vessels, they don't work with smaller shippers who have one or two containers. They keep relationship with big guys who have many big amount of containers getting loaded, and they're not easily reachable and things like that. It has, some are good, some are bad, and things like that. But when it comes to BL, now it becomes a matter as to who is going to issue the BL to you. Is it the NVOCC who has given you the containers, or is it the main line of RCL who is giving you the BL? So RCL will have a documentation with, assume that you have taken a container called Goodrich, for example, and the Goodrich containers is going on RCL vessel. So in this case, what will happen? Who will give the BL to you? Is it that RCL is going to give the BL to you, or is it Goodrich which is going to give the BL to you? So this is what you have to discuss with them out. RCL will do its documentation with Goodrich, and Goodrich will actually give you the BL. But there is also a case wherein they might not have their own carriers. Like, for example, there is a CHA and a supply chain company called Agility. Agility also gives their own BL, but I don't think, I don't know, I'm not sure whether they have their own, containers. Agility has their offices in Singapore and few countries, so they are able to give BL and manage this, right? So these are the things that you need to understand. Follow on question by Saurabh is difference between negotiable BL and non-negotiable BL. Well, see, Saurabh, if you have done an export, when you get the BL copy in your hand, one, you get two sets of original copy, and then you get about one or two more non-negotiable copy. So what this means is that the two copies which has that stamp, which has that seal, is actually the non-negotiable BL. And the other ones, meaning if you send the other ones without the stamp to your customer, they cannot clear the containers. Which means the one with the stamp and properly signed and sealed and stamped are the ones which you can send to the customer for their release of the cargo, right? And that is non-negotiable, right? So you will have to take the payment first, and then only then you will release the cargo, release the containers, release the shipment to your buyer, right? So also, if you are handling a physical BL document, it is required that on the reverse of the document, you as an exporter sign and seal, because the reverse of the BL has all the terms and conditions of the BL. Sometimes some lines and in some cases they don't take it very seriously, but in some cases they do ask for a few documentation, and that's not very complicated, right, friends? Well, coming to the main matter before I go, my friends, is that I hope and I'm hoping that a lot of you are learning exports, a lot of you are doing exports, a lot of you are starting to do at least one container. Don't stick to big principles who say that if you cannot get at least 50,000 per container, don't do the exports. These are all rubbish, my friends. If you are a new exporter, you have to get an experience. That does not mean that I am telling you should do your shipment on losses. But what I'm trying to tell you is that even if you just break even if you do your shipment with zero profit but cover all your costs, it is a very good experience that you will get. You otherwise nobody will give you a chance to do an export shipment, my friends. So just give, even if you just give cost to cost, try that one container, see how CHA does his work, see how the miller or the factory or the manufacturer does his work. Go through that experience of booking containers, getting US dollar payments, remitting it that in the bank account. Lot of things are involved in this. Lot to learn how to book an insurance, how to confirm drafts to your customer. I will tell you something, my friends. After 1 or 2 or 2 or 3 months, when I was shipping to the same customer, I never used to send them document drafts to confirm the documents. Lot of time what happens is the shipping line or the agent will send you the shipment documents, drafts. BL draft, FITO drafts, fumigation drafts, everything, every certificate of origin drafts. And then he will tell you, this is the documentation, please confirm whether the draft is okay. And then what we do, we send it to the buyer and saying that here is the documentation, please check and let me know whether all the drafts are okay. You need not do this, because after 3 or 4 months, I never sent document drafts to the customer. I myself used to approve it and make changes and make corrections to the agent. Because when I learn how the documentation happens, who is the exporter, who is the consignee, who is the notify party, what is the ETA return, what is the Incoterms return, what is the price, what is the quantity, what is the total build value. When you know all this, is the IEC number mentioned? When you know all this, total the gross weight, tear weight, the number of bags, is that all matching? Is that all okay? You just can approve it. So there's a lot of learning that you will get, friends. I will see you again. Another topic on export mistakes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you liked it. It was insightful and knowledgeable. I'm hoping to see you again. Stay tuned.